In retrospect, I can understand their reaction. It must have been really insulting to them that a bunch of long-haired hippie white kids had appointed themselves protection for the toughest black militants this country had ever seen. They probably thought we were merely playing at revolution. We weren't. We were just doing what we could. The reason we decided to spend the summer in New Haven was that my friend Ed had gone to Yale and met some people who were putting together a new endeavor. It was something so idealistic that we must have been completely out of our minds. Even as I write this, I'm shaking my head in disbelief, especially since we now live in a world where liberal is a dirty word. We actually wanted to write and publish a left-wing Reader's Digest. What's that, Lewis, you ask? A misdirection of optimism, that's for sure. The idea behind it was that if we could appeal with simple intelligence to the American people about the war, civil rights, and economic justice, we could change their minds. To put it another way, we were hoping to update the paintings of Norman Rockwell by expressing our beliefs in a non-confrontational fashion. We would write about our common concerns and interview people who would appeal to Middle America. Yep, obviously we were nuttier than fruitcakes, but we were just putting our money where our mouths were. And even though I had a fellowship in playwriting in the offing, I was hoping my involvement in this venture would lead me out of theater where I still wasn't sure I belonged. I was looking for one more shot at being a part of society, albeit at its fringes, and avoiding outpatient clinics. We lived in the basement of an art supply storefront. There was no kitchen, and we slept on mattresses on the floor. The reason we lived like that was because we were broke. But these kinds of conditions do give you the sense that you're doing something important, perhaps because they don't really pay people to do really important things. Albert Schweitzer and Mother Teresa did not die rich. And we certainly weren't getting paid. We were doing all of this on spec. My first and only job on the magazine was to interview General Shoup, who had served in Vietnam and later declared the war unwinnable. He felt that we were making a huge mistake and it had to stop. According to General Shoup, we were fighting a group of people who were trying to unite their country and were sick of being under the thumb of a foreign power. I spent 3 or 4 hours with this stately gentleman who had served his country for 40 or more years, and he made it quite clear to me that the course we had taken in Vietnam was madness. He told the story in a way that all those reading our version of Reader's Digest could understand. Too bad it was never printed. As the summer unfolded, it became quite obvious that we were not going to be able to pull off this magazine. The man who was funding it left town to search for his guru, like so many others at that time. For many of my generation, the path to enlightenment started with drugs and ended with gurus. I didn't quite understand how one followed the other, but meditation was becoming the next big thing. It seems to work for millions of people, so who am I to argue? Still, I figure you can close your eyes and listen to your own breath, or you can close your eyes and touch yourself. Either way, you're going to end up in the same blissful state.